Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
This year's my 19th year teaching at CIU. It's sort of disturbing that some of you weren't born when I started here, but that's all right. I'm also the youth director at Temple Zion Baptist Church, right down Hayward Brockington Road. Andre Melvin is the pastor there. I'm also a cancer survivor. 3 years ago, in March, I was diagnosed with cancer. Had surgery, chemo, radiation, and they said I'm cancer-free, so that's been 3 years now, so praise God for that. I love teaching here at CIU. I teach mainly youth ministry, church ministry courses, and undergrad and grad, but I love the students here, and if when someone says, what's your dream job? I say, I'm doing it. So it's a true blessing to be able to be here. I love Jesus, and I'm single. You often hear of singleness and marriage both as gifts. You know, for people who are married, oh, what a gift. You know, you have a spouse, what a gift. And then people talk about singleness being a gift. But we have a certain picture of these gifts in our minds. So when we think of the gift of marriage, we think this. It's beautiful. Thank you. It's gorgeous. It's the gift of marriage. So many people want it, but you don't know what's inside. Then there's the gift of singleness. So we can see what the gift of singleness looks like. Thank you. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Nick. Did you put the top ramen and lean cuisine on this, Nick? I love the gift so much. We'll just put that in my pocket. But this is what, you know, we kind of say, what gift do you want, huh? Do you want the gift of marriage? Or do you want the gift of singleness, which comes with a free bag of top ramen soup and lean cuisine? All right. So if someone handed you the single gift, you might throw it back at me, or you might say, what's the return policy on this gift? Some singles consider singleness as bad or a sickness to get over, but the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that singleness is both a gift in verse 7 and singleness is good in verse 8. Many young people I've talked to over the years have hoped and prayed that singleness would be a gift that they would never be given. Being single doesn't mean, however, that you are a half person. Regarding marriage, Jesus said that the two shall become one flesh in Matthew chapter 19:5. He didn't say that two halves will become whole, but two whole individuals will become one flesh. In other words, you can be a complete person when you're single. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul also says, if you remain single and be devoted to the Lord in purity, then do it. While marriage is God's normal design for most people, he has gifted some people to remain single so that they can serve him without all the things that go along with having a marriage and family. Paul says it is good to remain single. Paul is not commanding that we stay single, since he recognizes singleness as a gift, which God only gives to some people. But he strongly is commending it, since it is a gift he himself had, and since it provides a number of advantages for serving the Lord, such as having more time and attention to focus on ministry and other people. I'd like to share with you my story, which includes being single, and what God has taught me along the way, and this might help you, be encouragement to you, hopefully. I always thought growing up that I would be married with a lot of kids. My favorite TV shows were The Brady Bunch or any movie or TV show that had lots of kids. And so in my mind, I was going to get married and have tons of kids. I loved the movie Yours, Mine, and Ours, the original edition. Okay. Some of you who are like me might be in your generation Full House or something. Could be, you know, something with a lot of kids, activity, things going on. And I loved watching that. I didn't become a Christian until I was in college, but in high school, I did have guy friends, but no official boyfriend. I was happy in high school. I played a lot of different sports. And to be truthful, a lot of the girls that I saw that were dating seemed to be unhappy, mad, and crying a lot. And yeah, I just thought, a lot of drama, and no thank you. So I was okay, and so also it made it easier that my closest friends weren't dating, and so that was a little bit easier. In college, I went on a few dates. I picked a major, however, that was 90% women, so that didn't help. And I was a recreation administration major, which is probably as close to youth ministry in the public college environment. But I didn't have a regular boyfriend. I remember wanting a boyfriend in college, but I was okay having lots of friends of both genders. And plus, I thought if you had a boyfriend, that it meant you were ready to be married. Now, when I was in college, I was not ready to be married. And I definitely was not ready to be a mother. So I was all right with that. After college, I landed my first job as a director of student activities at a public university in California. And I joined a large church and really grew in my faith. It was a fantastic church. And they said they were looking for people to volunteer with their high school youth ministry. They had about 200 kids in it, great ministry. And so I loved kids and youth. And so I volunteered to work with the high school ministry. But I also was interested in dating, and I noticed though I was spending a lot of time with the high school students, and on staff, everyone was married couples or really young college students. There just wasn't very many single people on staff, except for one 74-year-old lady named Marie. And I always remember Marie, bless her soul. I grew up in California, so we didn't say bless your heart, but you know. But she would come and just say, oh, just us single ladies. Hey, thanks, Marie. Yeah, just us. And as I started volunteering, though, that we had a great singles group, but I wasn't able to participate in as many things. And I remember thinking, you know, maybe I should quit working with the high school students and go to the singles ministry because that would make it easier for God to help me find someone to date and to marry. And so I thought, because there wasn't very many people, you know, it was just me and Marie. And so I thought, you know, maybe God needs a little help. And so I remember thinking about it and struggling and praying and trying to decide what to do. And I really sensed the Lord saying, I've called you to work with youth, and I want you to stay where you're called. And I don't want you to manipulate circumstances to find someone. Okay, so I stayed working in youth ministry. And what was interesting, it was after I decided to stay involved in youth ministry, God showed me that he didn't need my help. So it was interesting, over the next couple months at church, I had two guys that were pursuing a relationship with me. And we had a single sponsor Christmas dinner. And so there was both guys. And I was wondering which one was going to, you know, ask me to the dinner. And I liked both of them. And so Matt asked first. So I said yes. It turned out, I later found out that Rick went and checked the list of who was coming and realized I was already invited. So he decided to volunteer at the dinner to help serve. So I was in dinner with Matt, and Rick was serving. Yeah. I thought, I know I wanted someone, but, you know. So it was very interesting. Well, Matt had to leave early from the dinner to pick up his sister from the airport, so Rick took his spot at the dinner table. I remember thinking, Lord, okay, I get it. You don't need my help. But I could just do one at a time, would be fine. Now, I didn't end up marrying either one, but it just, the timing of it was just God saying, I don't need you to manipulate circumstances to, you know, for you to meet someone. If I can trust God with my salvation, and I believe he's the all-powerful God of the universe, he certainly can meet my needs as far as relationships go. In my 20s and 30s, I remember women and friends my age at church and stuff, they would come and tell me, because we were all in the singles group, everyone was interested in finding someone to date and marry, and I remember some of the girls saying, you know, Karen, if you weren't so successful, guys would be interested in you. I went, what? What do you mean successful? They go, well, you're a college graduate. Okay. You have a full-time job. Okay. And you own a home. I said, okay. And I was told that these accomplishments were intimidating to guys. And I wasn't willing to change in order to make myself more appealing. Plus, I wanted a guy to love me for who I was and not for a fake me. Over the years, I've worked with a lot of youth in California, Illinois, and here, and I've had them try to help me find a guy. I had a student set up in Illinois when I was doing youth ministry there. California first. California, this is great. I had my middle school students set up a blind date with their math teacher. And we were to meet in between the church services. This is a large church. In between the church services, and I was going to meet him for the first time. So we had all this set up, this location, this one tree, and I was going to meet them. And I thought I was going to be meeting this guy by myself. But no, I had all the middle school girls following me. I go, what are you doing? They go, we want to watch. You can't watch. You can't watch me. So I'm talking to this guy, meeting him for the first time with this group of girls right here. And it's sort of, it was hard for me to concentrate because I see these girls going. I'm thinking, we never met again after that. I think he thought the group of middle school students came with me and that sort of scared him off a little bit. In Illinois, I had a blind date set up by some of the girls, and that didn't go well. But in South Carolina, I did have some of my girls go online looking for me. They told me they were, and I was sort of scared to ask about that. So none of that worked. But I did feel loved by them. I think that was their way of caring for me and sharing their love for me. If you're wondering, do you have the gift of singleness? I would say I'm not sure. Most people I've met with the gift of singleness are content not to be married and don't want to be married. I'm content to be single and feel blessed in so many ways. I'm doing my dream job. I get to do so many cool things. And I am so content and so happy, but I'm really open to be married. I've noticed that most people who have the gift of singleness do not desire to be married. So if you were to ask me, I don't know. We'll find out. You'll get invitation, you know, something happens. But a part of my difficulty with over the years being single has been my desire for children. I told you I pictured myself with a big house and a lot of kids. And so I really struggle with the Lord, you know, saying, you know, God, I really thought I'd have a lot of kids and kept praying for it and sort of frustrated with it. And when I was doing full-time ministry in Illinois, I just had the Lord saying, I've given you lots of children and I've answered your prayer. What do you mean you give me lots? Lots of children, as I'm around tons of middle school and high school kids. And he said, I gave you dozens and dozens and dozens of kids in California. I've given you tons of kids here in Illinois. And I realized, yeah, God, you did. You did answer my prayer, but it was different than I thought. My prayer for children has been answered through many ways, through my niece and nephew. My brother finally came through for the family. kids at church, at Temple Zion Church, these are my kids. I'm in charge of youth birth to 18, and so they're all my kids. Even when they graduate, they're my kids. I sponsor 7 kids through the Compassion International and get a chance to write letters. And I sponsored one, the first one was from the Philippines. And this is Mary Rose. And I had no intention when I signed up to sponsor her to ever go visit. I had no intention to go to the Philippines. But then the letters, she started out, Auntie, and then it was, my dream of all dreams would be to meet you someday. And then it was, you're like a second mother to me. Oh. Oh, okay. How much are the tickets? So, as you can see, I did go, and I met Mary Rose and ended up sponsoring another little boy, Mark. Then I had the chance about 2 years ago to go to Kenya and sponsor. So here are some of my kids. I didn't sponsor the alligator. But the other kids. So I've got a chance to sponsor them. And so I get in my letters all the time, Mama Karen, and writing. And so I just love that. And then I have my... I hope you won't feel bad about this, but my big kids here. So the CIU students, I call you my kids, and even the youth majors, they're a fun lot. And many of them have called me, Mom or Mama Karen. I still get from graduates, them saying Mama Karen, and but on campus, it's Dr. Mom. Okay. But I feel truly blessed, and I've had hundreds of kids. Didn't have to give birth to any of you guys or pay for your braces. Oh, and then I also have some furry kids, if any of you are pet lovers. So those are my pets. Furry. I also teach dog obedience classes. Now, sometimes in class I get it confused, so if I tell you to sit and stay, don't take it personally. But I do bring treats, so we're good. All right, so here's some advice for singles and married people. Don't tune out yet, because I have some good stuff for you too. Okay, so here's some advice for if you're single. The first is stop comparing yourself to others. The times I've struggled most about being single was often determined by the friends and people around me. If it seemed like everyone was dating, then it was really hard. If I started getting invited to be in a lot of weddings, it was hard. And so when you're around people that are happy and dating, it's harder to deal with that. Where if your friends aren't, it's not as hard. For students at CIU, it's springtime, and if all of your friends have received a ring, it's hard. We need to do a heart check, though, to see if we're coveting a relationship that someone else has. God commands us not to covet what doesn't belong to us. In some relationships, sometimes we're coveting things that don't belong to us. Next, if you're not currently dating, it doesn't mean that something is wrong with you. Let me say that again. Because some people when you really want to date and you can't find anyone, you start going, something is wrong with me. So if you're not currently dating, it doesn't mean that something is wrong with you. In my 20s and 30s, I thought, well, maybe something was wrong with me on the outside that wasn't being attractive to guys. And so I thought if I changed my outside appearance, if I dressed up a little bit, did a little something more of the hair, a little more jewelry, a little more makeup, did a little something. So this is what I tried. I know what you're thinking. I'm shocked she's still single. Okay. The next, don't settle. Sometimes we feel so desperate that we lower our standards. Warm and breathing is not setting a high bar. I just want you not to settle less than God's best for you. Next, don't seek to date or marry someone to make you happy. If you're not a happy person, or you're hate being single, if you're looking for someone else to make you happy, you're in for a big disappointment. Until the right person comes along, you need to learn how to live happily single. It is important to learn to be content in the state that you are in until you get married. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. He learned how to enjoy life regardless of the circumstances. Unfortunately, a great many single people overlook the opportunities of singleness and live in frustration of the moment for looking for Mr. Right or Miss Right. Be thankful for the many blessings you have right now and serve God faithfully during this chapter of your life. Next, the grass is always greener on the other side. I remember my pastor at my church in California in my 20s said, I counsel two groups of people, single people who wish they were married and married people who wish they were single. He said the second group is a lot worse. One experience I had really reminded me that marriage doesn't guarantee happiness. When I came to South Carolina, I'm originally from California, I didn't know anyone, and so I was asked at the church I started attending to lead a women's Sunday school group for more sort of older, mature women, but career women, and I was asked to lead this, and I thought that'd be a great way to meet people. It turned out everyone was divorced. Everyone was divorced in my group, several times. My class felt like a divorce recovery workshop with a lot of hurting women. And I remember thinking that God used that to remind me that just because you get married doesn't mean that that'll bring happiness to you. Next, check your focus. When my focus was on finding someone to date or marry, or when I was dating, my focus definitely was not on was definitely on myself, not God. Several years ago, when I was a small group leader for 8 sophomore girls in high school, one of the girls sent an email to our entire group about something God was showing her. This girl, as well as most of the girls in my small group, were boy crazy. Before the small group, we talked about boys. After the small group, we talked about the boys. It was just, they were always looking. They really desperately wanted to date. They would come up to me crying because no boy had asked them out. I'm never going to find someone. I go, you think you're in trouble? But anyway. But one of them, and this is written, and I'm going to share this word for word what she wrote. This is written again by a sophomore girl. And the email basically is asking the question, what if she thought about God the way she was looking at guys and boys? And so let me read you what she wrote, and I have it also on the screen. So she said, so I was thinking about this guy I really liked, and I started to ask myself the question, what if I treated God the same way I did the guy that I like? What if I thought about him all the time? What if I couldn't wait for the time of day I always talked to him? What if I spent hours each day talking to him? What if I read his words, his letters, his notes over and over each day to the point of memorization? What if every day I couldn't wait to go to school and tell everyone what he had said or done for me? What if I thanked God for himself all the time? What if I felt a burning desire to tell people I didn't even know that he loved me? What if I lived like I never needed anything but him? What if every day I looked for ways to point him out or show him to my friends? What if I told him everything? What if I knew everything about him? What if I laid awake at night thinking about him and what he had done for me? What if I dreamed about him every night? What if I got a certain look on my face every time I talked about him? What if I got excited every time I heard his name? What if I went crazy when I heard his voice? What if I dreamed about what life could be like in the future if we stayed close to each other? What if I could realize how much more God loves me than some boy? How would my life be changed? That was God speaking through a high school student. So some of you might going, okay, I'm supposed to wait. I'm not supposed to lower the bar. I'm not supposed to be thinking about myself all the time. But what do I do while I'm waiting? First, pray. If you have the desire to marry, pray for a godly mate. Pray for that person, whoever he or she may be. Pray for contentment and direction during this season of your life. Next, focus on personal and spiritual growth, becoming more like Christ. Work on spiritual disciplines. Work on yourself. Next, if you need counseling for past hurts or unresolved issues, now is the time to deal with them and heal from them before you get into a relationship with someone. Past hurts have a way of resurfacing when you are in a close relationship. Next, serve others. Get your focus off yourself. Be involved in ministry. Help out somewhere. But if you're serving and helping and thinking about how can I meet the needs of other people, how can I serve in ministry, how can I do what God wants me to do, I think you'll find that the waiting chapter of your life is a lot easier. And last, guard your moral purity so when you do get married, you can truly give your spouse a treasured gift. In conclusion, remember, marriage does not guarantee happiness, and it's not the final solution to your problems. God is. If God is not the center of your life or your spouse's life, marriage creates more problems than it solves. Without the Lord at the center, marriage just brings together two self-centered people seeking fulfillment from one another. It just doesn't work. Put God at the center of your life. Pray that He will bring you a mate with the same commitment, and then joyfully serve Him together. Before I pray, I wanted to offer, some of you might want someone to talk to about this. It's hard. I understand to want to be in a relationship, want to be able to do something with someone. And so individually or with a friend, if you ever want to have coffee or have lunch together, just send me email and say, can we just meet and talk? And I would love to meet with you guys, not all at the same time, but you know, when you can. But if you could just join me as we close in prayer. Father God, I am so thankful that you are our Father and you love us dearly and you know us more than anyone because you created us. You know our thoughts before we think them. You know our prayers before we pray them, Lord. And Father, I know in this room there are people that desperately want to be in a relationship and date someone and desperately want to find someone to marry. And Father, you know those hurts and those desires. But Father, I pray that you would speak to each one of those individuals to know what do you want them to do during this waiting chapter of their life. And Father, for people who are married, Lord, I pray that they would be a godly example of what marriage is like and encourage and disciple maybe other dating couples. And Father, but like this beautiful young woman wrote, Lord, I just pray that all of us wouldn't put people above God and that we would think of Him and get excited about Him and pray to Him and look forward to being with Him. And Father, just what an example that young girl set and what a challenge she meant. So Father, I thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.